So I've got something exciting to share. My book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is now available for pre-order. It's about rethinking your drinking, not because you necessarily have to, but because deep down you know there's more waiting on the other side. It's about creating space for clarity, for calm, and the version of you that doesn't need alcohol to cope. So if you're looking for a refreshing take on alcohol identity and desire, just tap the link in the show notes and pre-order. Right, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink podcast with me, your host, Anna Donaghy. If you've noticed that the drinking culture in the UK is changing and you're curious about why and what this means to your world, then this is the podcast for you. Throughout this series, I will be chatting with the thought-provoking, forward-thinking people at the heart of this shift to find out what makes them tick and to explore the sober curious perspective from all angles. And I'll also be giving you oodles of personal tools and tactics to help you get on board the Big Drink Rethink. Welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink and this little mini summer series where we're revisiting some of the most downloaded and popular episodes. And as summer winds down and we begin to re-enter routines, this episode is a really timely invitation to check in with yourself. It's why I've chosen to bring back this powerful conversation with Laura Bartlett, founder of House of Coco, visionary entrepreneur, and a bold advocate for living life on your own terms. In fact, since recording this episode about a year ago, Laura has pivoted in her career again, and I'm waiting to see where she surfaces. In this episode, Laura talks about how alcohol once served as a mask for burnout and insecurity, and how letting it go gave her the clarity and courage to rebuild a life that's deeply aligned, both personally and professionally. She talks about walking away from what no longer fits, even when it's hard, about no longer playing by other people's rules. And one of her most powerful messages is that you don't owe anyone an explanation for prioritizing your well-being, and that setting boundaries is not rejection, but self-respect, and about redefining success to mean feeling good in your body, your mind, and your choices. She also reminds us that choosing not to drink can feel radical, especially in industries like hospitality and PR and media and events, but it is also incredibly empowering. Her story invites us to reflect on what we truly want to be known for and what success feels like rather than how it looks. So if you're coming out of summer wanting to raise your own bar in terms of how you work, rest or live, Laura's story is a really powerful compass. And as you listen, you might want to reflect on where in your life you have been living by someone else's definition of success, and perhaps what you've learned about your own boundaries over the summer and how you can honour them more fully. Think about what it would mean to raise the bar, to raise your bar, not in doing more, but in choosing better for yourself. And what might shift for you if you stopped apologising for putting your well-being first? If summer showed you a glimpse of how good it can feel to be well-rested, present and alcohol-free, then Laura's story will offer you both validation and inspiration as you carry that energy forward. You've got a job that takes you all over the world, you know, and from the outside looking in, there's no doubt about it. For a lot of, you know, young business people, young women in particular, you are living the dream. Let me just, because we're talking about labels as well, and let me just bring you to that decision to ditch alcohol and become a non-drinker. And you're very, very happy to kind of carry around the sort of the label of sobriety and talk very loud and proudly about that. It's a really interesting one for me, Laura, because I am guessing that alcohol was incredibly ingrained in the lifestyle that you have created around your job. So this says to me, oh, here she goes again, swimming against the tide. What was going on there?
Yeah, alcohol was definitely ingrained in my industry, and I just think in life in general. And It wasn't until I looked back through my phone to create a reel on Instagram to shout about the fact that I'd been sober for, well, it's 16 months now, but I've realized quite how much of a role alcohol played in my life. And I used to just see it as this is so fun, I'm just drinking champagne all the time, to the point that strangers on the internet would tag me in champagne memes. That's how much I used to drink it. And or someone would message me and go, I've just seen this Prosecco candle in this shop and it made me think of you. I'm like, that's not the association that I want people to have, like thinking of alcohol when they think about me. But I feel like, when did we all decide that alcohol was a lifetime commitment anyway? Like, I don't remember signing that. I also lost my dad 2.5 years ago, and just getting through life without my dad was hard enough without having to factor in a hangover. And we've all said it, you know, we drink alcohol and then we go, I'm never drinking again. And then there we go, drinking again. And basically, you shouldn't ask a clown why he's acting like a clown. Ask yourself why you keep going to the circus. And that's what it was. You know, every week I'm like, why am I still hungover? Oh, because you drank so much alcohol yesterday. And I just woke up. That's the only way I can explain it. I just woke up one day with a hangover and I said, you know what? This is the last time. And from that day on, I adopted the mindset that I am not a drinker and I haven't touched, wanted, or craved alcohol ever since. And it's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. See, when I first met you and I asked you how you quit drinking, I loved your answer. Knowing what I know about you, I shouldn't have been surprised at all. But I still was a little bit, because we get so used to talking about people who go on a sort of a drinking journey. But you just stopped. You just kind of went, I'm stopping. I am a non-drinker. You know, it was kind of a commitment. It's a massive commitment that you just made to yourself.
And it's so important to keep the commitments that we make ourselves. I don't think people really understand the science, the strength behind keeping your word to yourself, because it does so much more for you than you will ever realize. You build your self-trust, your self-esteem. You achieve that thing that you promised yourself you would achieve. And then you look around and you say, well, what else can I achieve? And it has a knock-on effect of every single aspect of your life. Yes, I gave up alcohol. So many people think of what they're losing. But I was looking at, well, what am I going to gain? And what I've gained is far more than the 26 letters of the alphabet would even allow me to verbalize. It's not even about the 50 pounds that I've lost or the fitness journey that I've been on, where I'm now 4 dress sizes smaller and run 10Ks every week and love working out and fitness and yoga and Pilates. It's my mental clarity, my level of awareness and consciousness is to an expansive level that I didn't even know was there before, because it was being suppressed by alcohol. So for that alone, like, why wouldn't you do this?
You're obviously, you know, as a non-drinker now, you know, like myself, you've discovered loads and loads and loads and loads of joys, many of them unexpected, some of them a bit more obvious, obviously. But were you actually conscious when you were drinking that you were performing at a suboptimal level? Because you were achieving. I mean, you were achieving. You were successfully building a business. And I guess for all intents and purposes, there wouldn't have been a kind of a sense check there. You know, things aren't going well for me here. What do I need to change? Were you conscious that it was, I guess, holding you back?
Yeah, they definitely got to a point where I'd be drinking, you know, I never drank at home, but I had a big social life. So I'd be out every week, and at least once a month, I'd get really drunk where I wouldn't even remember getting home. And then I'd wake up the next day and wonder if I'd eaten, and there'd be a half-eaten pizza in the kitchen and stuff like that. And I just thought, you know, if I can achieve what I'm achieving when I'm not at my 100%, imagine what I can do if I am. And I started getting to the point with alcohol where I would feel great for a few days, then I would have a hangover, and it would take 2 to 3 days to feel better. So it was just this constant roller coaster, and just like waking up to, why am I putting this poison in my body?
I mean, I had a drinking problem And I was very, very aware, therefore, of the issues that it was creating in my life. But I speak to so many people who just, you know, don't, I suppose, until they stop drinking, you don't appreciate what a sub sort of optimal level of existence you have. It, you know, it's almost, sometimes it's imperceivable. Even a small amount of alcohol in your system can bring you, you know, can bring your mood down, can bring your energy levels down. And the cycle that you're talking about there, the one where you kind of wake up and it's like, oh, here we go again. I mean, that takes its toll. I mean, I always talk about the fact that alcohol really narrows your world. It puts you in a kind of tunnel vision in terms of, you know, ambition and what you believe you're capable of, because it saps your energy and it just keeps you sort of stuck in this loop. And, you know, getting rid of alcohol for me was just literally like going back and finding my energy and ambition for my 20s and 30s again. It was incredible.
It's called alcohol and spirits, you know, spirits for a reason, because it suppresses your spirit. It literally kills you inside. It suppresses your, you know, the little whisper that we have from our soul, which is always so quiet because it's trying to shout amongst the loud noise of the negativity. And I can hear my inner voice so much clearer now. A lot of people say, well, I don't drink a lot, or I only drink the odd glass here and there. And my response is always, well, if you don't drink a lot, then it won't be hard to stop, will it? And I don't think people realize just how impactful it is, even if you only have two glasses of wine a week or three glasses of wine, whatever. Even if you only have that small amount, well, remove it, because then you will see the benefits of not having it at all. But we've lived a world where champagne and alcohol has been glorified. You look back now, I'm much more conscious of anything that I watch on TV, and I'll see alcohol in every single scene. It's only like back in the day when smoking was cool. We're very much getting to the same thing now with alcohol, where actually we're realizing this hasn't got any positive impact.
I think one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, you obviously made a decision. You just woke up one day and you made that decision based on all the things you've just said. There is a brilliant simplicity in that decision, in an absolute decision. So you make one decision, I'm not drinking anymore, which is, you know, easier in a way than the many decisions that are involved in something like moderation or setting yourself different guidelines, where, you know, moderation by definition means you're making a series of lots of decisions every day or every week. Is this a day for drinking? How much am I drinking? When am I going to stop drinking? What am I going to drink? It's a sort of the power of the absolute commitment to yourself, which I think in there is a really the essence of entrepreneurship as well. There's a really, I'm going to go off on one here, but it's interesting. There's a really interesting model by a guy called Dan Sullivan, and he talks about it as being the kind of the essence of entrepreneurship. He talks about it as being kind of the core building blocks for growth, and it's commitment. It's called the four C's, right? It's commitment, it's courage, it's capability, and it's confidence. And he says, you know, the commitment creates courage, the courage creates capability, the capability creates confidence. And that's what I find really, really profound. It's the fact that confidence, which is so often the thing that holds us back, is not the key ingredient. Commitment and courage are the key ingredients, and the capability and confidence are the results, the output. It's that sense of just commit and have the courage of your own convictions, of your own commitments, and you will build a capability. You will become confident. You will prove to yourself that you are capable of this.
Yeah, and I guess you could add another C onto the end of consistency, because if you do it consistently, then you will feel all those things. And back to what you said at the start of that, it's there is nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. Like you said, the energy that people are wasting sitting on the fence, either you're in or you're out, either you're quitting or you're not quitting. Stop pretending to yourself that you're going to quit to make yourself feel better. Because some people feel better for just saying, oh, I'm going to quit one day, because that makes them feel less guilty for that day not being today.
Yeah. Dan Sullivan goes on and says something else really interesting as well, which is quite sort of challenging. But he basically says, you know, given a difficult decision or a challenge, there's always fear involved. And for lots of people, there's a load of fear involved in what, you know, what's life look like if I'm not drinking. And you can do two things, and only two things, in a situation where you're confronting fear. The first is to avoid it, which is kind of procrastinate and sort of make those "I will at some point soon" kind of decisions. Or you can find courage and start off down that path. And I really like the fact that confidence is not the prerequisite for starting, because this is really, really very good news indeed for anyone stuck in a place of low confidence.
Because the thing that everyone drinks alcohol for, you know, people drink alcohol because they think it makes them more confident, they think it makes them more outgoing and funny and free-flowing with life, but actually giving up alcohol is the thing that makes you all of the things that you're trying to get from alcohol. It's so ironic.
It is literally about sort of unveiling the truths. But again, you know, having the courage to go there and dig around and, you know, unveil the truths and challenge all the beliefs that we have, all of those beliefs. It makes us more confident, it makes us funnier, it makes us more sociable. Challenging all of those, and then having the sort of, I suppose, the self-belief or the desire to be true to yourself, to say ultimately, this is not my choice. And actually, I was going to mention that a commitment is actually a choice at the end of the day. We all have a choice. You know, I remember coaching a lady a while back, and I remember saying to her, so it was coming towards the end of our session, and I said to her, so what does this evening look like? And she said, well, I'm probably going to have a few drinks. And I said to her, okay. I said, why are you going to have a few drinks? Oh, well, I'm going out for dinner, she said. I'm like, and? And she said, well, we always do. I was kind of, is someone holding a gun to your head? You know, because that's a choice. You know, to do what we always do, or to do what is going to please our friends, or to do what our friends expect of us, is a choice. So pleasing them is the very opposite of a commitment to yourself. If, you know, if that's one of the reasons why, you know, why you drink or why you feel compelled to drink. And I just think that authenticity, you know, asking yourself, is this what I want? Is this what I genuinely want, rather than just why am I doing this?
Or because everybody else is doing it. That's one of the topics that I find when I tell people that I don't drink. They go, oh my God, I really want to quit, but my friends won't want to hang out with me, or, oh, I don't want to be the boring one. And everyone cares way too much what other people think of them. Whereas I would just come in from a place of, I care way too much what I think of me. I'm the one who has to be with me every single day. So I have to make sure that I like me and I love me and I nourish and nurture my soul that's going to go on and live for infinity. So why would I want to poison it whilst I'm here? I'm also realizing a lot of people are getting more social anxiety because they're preempting the fact that they're going to have to, well, I say going to have to in inverted commas, get drunk and drink wine with their friends. So people are feeling anxious about going out because they know they're going to have to drink. Where it's like, if you just don't drink, then you won't feel anxious.
Yeah. So that's an interesting, I did want to ask you that, you know, within the world in which you inhabit, sort of professionally and socially, are you in the non-drinking minority of your peers? Are you, or do you really see things shifting there? Do you see more people of your sort of lifestyle and generation not drinking now?
Yeah, I definitely am seeing a shift. For me, I don't need to see somebody do something first. I just do it because I choose. Whereas in the industry, in the world in general, other people need to see somebody walk that path first. And it's probably one of the most rewarding things that since I've quit alcohol, the amount of people that have messaged and told me that because I have, they have. Because they can see my lifestyle where alcohol plays such a huge part. I check into a hotel every week and there's a bottle of champagne on arrival. I'll go to an event and there's champagne on arrival. There's tasting menus and drinks and all this everywhere, and I still say no with absolute certainty. So people are watching that and being like, well, wait a minute, if she can say no when her inbox is overflowing with invitations to restaurants and bars and free alcohol from brands, then why can't I?
I think because I'm sort of very aware of your the way you've built your business and the way that you communicate your business and promote your business, it is so public that you could be living a very different sort of drinking lifestyle than the one that you do. So I think I've no doubt at all that people sort of regard your sobriety as a sort of a very individual choice within that world, but a very inspiring one.
When I decided to quit and I just said, I am not a drinker, anytime alcohol would come up in my mind, I would, you know, maybe it was like in the first couple of weeks, I might fancy a glass of wine. I would just switch that thought in my mind to be like, I am not a drinker. I do not drink alcohol. And changing the thoughts to rewire my brain so that now the thought of having a glass of wine wouldn't even enter my head.
And I think what you said earlier, which, you know, I'm going to sort of pick up on as well, is this idea of turning, you know, that moment of, ooh, you know, a glass of wine into, I get to not do this. I get to not drink a glass of wine. And I, you know, the things that I'm going to gain from that decision rather than the things that I lose from that decision, to always frame it in that way. You know, that sort of positive choice rather than sort of negative denial, as it were, is really, really important. Really important.
And what you were saying about, you sort of touched on fear before, a lot of people don't quit because they are then kind of journeying into the unknown, where they'd much rather stay in the comfort of knowing what drinking will give them. If they give up alcohol, then it's opening up a whole new world that they don't know yet. And that to some people is scary, and to others is exciting. And actually fear and excitement physiologically do the same thing in our bodies. It's just how we interpret that psychologically. So I have never in my lifetime experienced fear. I don't know fear, but I know excitement. So when other people feel fear, that's what I call excitement. So we don't realize just quite how powerful our thoughts are, and the fact that we have the ability to retrain our minds to think in a way that will just open up doors that we didn't even know existed. But some people don't want to admit that, because if you find out that you are powerful beyond measure, well, that can be scary to some, but then to others, it can be exciting.
That brings me on to a question that I wanted to ask you very much, actually, about your relationship with failure. You know, literally, what is your relationship with failure? Because I'm getting a deep vibe here that you don't recognize failure as a negative thing, that, you know, if you want to do something, you throw yourself into something, and failure is just part of, you know, a learning journey. Is that a fair assumption, or what's your take on it?
That is definitely spot on. I see failure as an opportunity to grow and learn. So when I think the difference between successful people and those that are not is the amount of time you spend feeling sorry for yourself. So when the shit hits the fan and something happens, if you can quickly think, instead of being like, oh no, I can't believe this has happened, instead, the quicker you can say, what is this trying to teach me? Then you can see it with different eyes. So I've put that into practice with my bankruptcy and my failed company and all these tools that I've learned throughout my life from my parents, you know, through love, through self-love, that I really had to put into practice 2.5 years ago when my dad passed away. Because prior to that, I didn't know sadness. I didn't know anger or lack or loneliness. I didn't know these feelings. So losing my dad, I reached a dark place that I didn't even know existed. And so then I could understand people with depression. Then I could understand how, you know, people do quit on their dreams, because when you are in a dark place, it is hard to get out. But it was an opportunity for me to use all the tools that I've gained throughout the years. And so how I got out of that space was having the ability to think greater than the situation that I was in. So even when it was darkness, I could still have a vision in my mind of how I was going to feel in the future, what my life was going to look like in the future. And our brain doesn't know the difference between the thought and the feeling and the actual reality of the event. So by just thinking that I look good, thinking that I feel good, thinking that I have so much energy, thinking and feeling about how happy and joyful I'm going to be in the future. And 2.5 years later, I am that exact thing that I saw first in my mind. So I wish people would start to understand just the power of our thoughts and the fact that we truly, truly are the creators of our lives. You know, we're so consumed in like content creators on social media chasing likes on Instagram, but we are all creators of our lives. And there's a difference between leaving your life up to fate and really stepping into your destiny. And your destiny is when you create your vision for your future and you see it so much every day, live it in your mind and feel it until you open your eyes and it's your reality. So yeah, I see the loss of my dad, the lesson that was teaching me was that I am more powerful than I ever realized. And also, if I believe that everyone goes when it's their time, and whilst my dad was only 57 and forever wouldn't have been long enough, I look at this and I think, well, my dad, if he had served his purpose was to show me unconditional love. And so therefore it's my duty to spread that around the world.
And to show yourself.
Yeah.
Unconditional love.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that sense of self-compassion and self-kindness and self-love for many, well, I think it's crucial to anyone on an alcohol journey where they're potentially, their dark place might evolve around alcohol and they're looking at a future that they don't think is attainable and they're being held back by a fear of failure. Then I think, you know, to sort of be able to look at failure as a sort of a learning. I always say to people when I'm coaching people again, you know, the goal of this, the goal of life, without wanting to sound sort of too sort of melodramatic, is learning. And therefore, if you look at the goal, the ultimate goal for us to be sort of that sort of self-mastery, that fulfilling our own potential and learning as we feel our way through life, what it is that is all about, then there can't be failure. There can't be failure if learning is the goal, because every single experience teaches you something. So if I say to people, you know, let's not drink for the next week, and then they have a drink and they go, oh, failed. It's like, no, learn from that. You know, why did it happen? What are the situations? What are the triggers? What are your emotions? Just learn from it and then just carry on. Just carry on and accumulate as much sort of personal insight as you possibly can. And that, every time you do that, it's progress. It's massive. It's massive. I know it's people always laugh at me because I quote obscure things, but I think it's, you know, Henry Ford of all people once said that you've only failed when you've stopped trying.
It's true.
It's massive. It's a huge thing in any aspect of life. You know, if learning is your goal, you cannot fail, and therefore you've only really failed if you've stopped trying.
I think, well, I actually have been so much more sort of self-aware of the messages that I tell myself and the story that I have. And when it comes to failure, so many people fear that because ultimately they fear humiliation. And I came to this conclusion when I was looking back over my career over the last 10 years. And when I started my first magazine, it was to prove my old boss wrong. When I started helping Oco magazine, it was to prove Peter Jones wrong. And last year I had an issue with a guy who almost scammed me out of my entire website and £250,000, but fortunately he didn't. And so stepping into this year was about proving him wrong. And then I feel like it's been about a month since I've had this true, true awakening. And I look at that situation and that repetitive narrative of proving people wrong. And when I unpick it, I used to think that proving people wrong was like my motivation, you know, got me out of bed in the morning. But now when I look back on that, I think proving people wrong is, in fact, fear of failure in a different jacket. And then I thought, well, but I don't fear anything. I'm fearless. Therefore, I don't care if I fail and I don't have to prove anything to them because I don't care what they think of me. So therefore, I don't have to prove anything to anyone. And actually, I am just enough, regardless of whether my business succeeds or fails. I am still worthy, regardless of how much money I have in the bank account, how many accolades and awards I've got. You know, I'm still worthy even when no one's looking. So having that awareness of like, what are these stories we tell ourselves and how can I change that narrative in order to grow and step into the best possible version of myself?
Honestly, I knew this conversation was going to be full of inspiration. I am conscious of the time and I'm really conscious of the fact that we could talk forever. I know we could. I'm gonna probably wind things down, but I just wanted to ask you one thing really. You know, knowing obviously this is the big drink rethink and there are people out there who are thinking, oh, you know, is my drinking really that bad? Do I need to rethink my drinking? And there'll also be people out there who know they should be rethinking their drinking, but they're feeling the fear. What would your advice be? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's all good. If you're thinking about it, then I think that's enough of a sign that you probably should stop. Because if you didn't think it was an issue, you wouldn't even be having the thoughts that it might be an issue. And it can seem quite scary, I guess, for some people at first, but just set yourself a little goal. When I started, I thought, I just want to get to 100 days and see how I feel. And then all of a sudden, it was at 100 days and the time had gone so quickly and it had actually been so easy. And I thought, wow, I'm already feeling good. I think I really felt the benefits after 6 months. And then now, you know, 16 months later, how does it get better than this? I can't comprehend how I could have any more consciousness and awareness of what's going on in the world and just how limitless we are.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very, very much for your time, Laura. I'm off to live this day in the vision of my future.
I love it.
Brilliant. So thank you so, so much for your time. And I look forward to speaking again at some point. So that's it for the final episode in the summer series. And with that, I'm taking a little break. Just a couple of weeks to step back, slow down, and do what I always encourage you to do, which is put your energy where it matters most. Okay. And for me, that's family and it's self-care and it's rest and it's recharge. So I'm giving myself permission, press pause just for a couple of weeks, not because I'm switching off, but because I want to return reconnected, re-inspired, and ready to bring you even more powerful episodes. Okay. And when the Big Drink Rethink returns, it'll feel supercharged with new conversations, fresh perspectives, and the same commitment to helping you rethink your relationship with alcohol in a way that feels true to you. So until then, take care and have a good, sunny, hopefully, couple of weeks. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find out more about the Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebeliefscoach.com. That's thebeliefs, B-E-L-I-E-F-S, coach.com, where you will see clear links to the show.